Here's your host, Chelsea Edwards.
Another episode of Chatting with Chelsea. I'm your daytime bestie, Chelsea Edwards. Listen to this. Heart disease is still the leading cause of death right here in the United States. But behind that statistic, there are real people, real families, real survivors. So today, we are sitting down with a survivor of 3 back-to-back heart attacks at the age of 40. Now, her organization has delivered more than 20,000 free heart health screenings across the country. But first, a daughter born with a critical congenital heart defect. Before she ever reached kindergarten, Charlotte faced 7 open heart surgeries and a childhood filled with uncertainty. But I can tell you this for sure. Charlotte is here with us today, along with her mother, Lacey. Thank you both for coming on Chat with Chelsea.
Thank you for having us.
Wow, like what a story when I read this. I can't imagine what you went through as a mom all these years. Charlotte, how old are you now?
I'm turning 7 in 2 days.
Ooh, happy birthday! I would have brought you a cake if I'd have known. Lacey, when did you first find out that Charlotte had this heart issue?
At our 20-week ultrasound appointment, the doctor was like, something's just not right. I want you to go to a specialist. And so starting at really 24 weeks pregnancy was when we were starting to go to a maternal fetal medicine and a cardiologist appointment down in the medical center. Every 3 weeks we were doing echoes, EKGs on me, and then when she was born, we could really tell what her real diagnosis was at that point.
Okay, so there was a certain point when they said, okay, it's time for the first surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So she was born, we knew, you know, probably within a week she was gonna have her first one, and at 6 days old, she had her first open heart surgery.
Wow. What was that like for you? That had to be nerve-wracking.
It is, and I can remember everything about that day. I mean, it's been almost, you know, it turned 7 this week. It, you know, next week it'll be 7 years from that. But I remember what I wore, what we ate for lunch, you know, what the doctor said. And I think it really laid the foundation for how I wanted to use my voice and how I hoped and prayed that she would use her voice to advocate moving forward for children going through this, for families going through this too.
What was that official diagnosis that you received?
She is Schoen's complex, so the left side of her heart did not fully develop.
Okay, so through all the surgeries, we have a pacemaker in now?
We do.
Okay, all right, Charlotte, how you feeling with your pacemaker?
It's okay, and like yesterday, the reason I was not at school was because I had to go get this thing called a Holter, and it monitors my heart.
Oh, wow. All right. So you got to be a strong girl to deal with all of this and come back every day. Right? Well, Mom, how often do you have to make adjustments when it comes to her schooling, her schedule? Because this is ongoing maintenance.
It is right? Ongoing. And we always say she's never out of the clear. Like we've had, you know, unfortunately, we've had some emergency situations that happened right when we started kindergarten. She took a fall and her pacemaker failed. And for her, she's completely pacemaker dependent. So if the pacemaker doesn't work, you can read the lines that her heart does not work. And so we take that very seriously in what we do, but we also want her to have as normal childhood as she can as well.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you make sure that happens?
It's a lot of open communication. You know, we educate her on, you know, this is what's safe for my body, this is not what's safe for my body, and we have challenging times. You know, we'll go to birthday parties and I'm sorry, you can't go on the trampoline because it messes up your pacemaker, but let's go do this craft, or, you know, let's tell our friends why we can, and use our story to help others in that situation.
Oh, Charlotte, how do you explain it to your friends when they say, we want you to do this with us, but you can't?
It's like, I say that, how about I can't go on that, but maybe I can go on something else whenever y'all get off of that.
That works. I love it. Now, Mom, you also have taken this even further. You are now working with the American Heart Association as well.
I am. When she was born, I had to stop working just because she needed full-time care. But when I was ready to go back to work, I knew it was needing to be something that was fulfilled my passion and was something that was important to me. So I do. I am our Associate Vice President of the Heart Ball for the American Heart Association. So every day I'm living out what we are, you know, hoping Houstons donate money for, what we're, you know, working with the hospitals for, what we're working with the communities for, to really educate on heart health at all ages, at all stages, from the little babies and the little kiddos, through adults that are, you know, unfortunately having a heart attack or a stroke, or even adults that have congenital heart disease. We're really focusing on those pillars right now, and how we are safely taking care of our community and their hearts.
Yes, I feel like so much of the focus, especially Heart Health Month, is, you know, adults and eating the right things and exercising and all of that. But what's another message that you want, especially for parents, to hear?
To get your heart checked. You know, something that was just really important was asking when you're leaving the hospital on a new baby to have a pulse ox, so have their oxygen tested. Ask for that extra echocardiogram, you know, when you're pregnant, or, you know, right after the baby comes, really advocating for your health and for your child's health as well.
Wow. All right. I know we got more to chat about, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have a woman who has made it her mission to help others as well after surviving 3 heart attacks before the age of 40. Keep it right here, guys. For another example of someone who has turned pain into purpose, turn to Tara Robinson, co-founder of the Black Heart Association. You survived 3 heart attacks at the age of 40. My goodness, girl. Now, what was that like? What did you experience?
So I woke up at 2:00 in the morning, and my left arm was numb. My neck was bothering me. I felt like I took a pill, but I didn't drink enough water to get it to go down. My upper back was uncomfortable. I was sweating like hot flashes. I felt sick to my stomach. So it felt like my body was misfiring.
Wow. And then how long until the next one happened?
The next day in my classroom at 9 a.m.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then the third one?
The next day at 4 p.m.
So these were just back-to-back episodes.
Yes.
What did the doctors tell you about what
was going
on?
So my symptoms showed up in November of 2013. So all this time had passed, you know, just off and on having these symptoms. So April 10th, when I arrived at 2:00 in the morning, me and my husband, I felt fine by the time we made it to the ER, and they couldn't find anything. And they told me I was too young to be having a heart attack. And guess what I did? I agreed. I'm too young.
Yeah.
And I was told to follow up my primary care, and I was released.
Okay, so yeah. you're back out in the world, uh-huh. after having a heart attack, yeah. or 3 heart attacks. What did your primary care doctor say?
So I didn't get to make it to my primary care, because the very next day I had another one, and then unfortunately I was sent home again, and then to go back at 4:00 having a massive heart attack. So I never got the chance to talk to my primary care doctor.
So after that massive one,
yes.
Were they able to see evidence that, she's serious, she really had a heart attack?
Right, because I was beginning to think, okay, they're going to think something wrong with me, right?
Yeah.
So I had 99% blockage in my left artery, known as the Widowmaker. So, yeah, it just went undetected somehow.
Wow, so the first couple times, they had no idea. Was there something that they should have done for you to see it the first time around?
I think so. I think it was a lot more that could be done. First, acknowledging that my symptoms, they did acknowledge that the symptoms sounded as if I was having a heart attack, mm-hmm. but yet going that extra mile, maybe doing a heart enzyme the first time I was at the doctor, or doing a stress test, or just an overnight stay could have caught at least the second one, right? And
right.
So going back with the second one, it was just me advocating to please keep me overnight. And then she did do a heart enzyme test, which did come back elevated, but the next 2 times it would come back normal, and then I was released.
Oh, what was the recovery like after that?
The recovery was long.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it's because I had an infection behind my heart known as pericarditis after I came out of the emergency room, out of the cath lab, mm-hmm. and then I had to go through cardiac rehab. So it took about 6 to 8 weeks just to get my breath, be able to walk from the bed to the bathroom.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you seem fine.
Yes, I am doing wonderful.
How's the maintenance? Have you changed anything? Have you had to add things to your routine and
yes.
all that?
So for me, it is, I see the doctor every 6 months since my heart attacks. I still see a cardiovascular doctor. I am on a statin to control my cholesterol, not just for my heart, well, for my heart health, but because I am going through menopause, so I need to make sure that I'm mindful of my cholesterol during this moment in my life. I also, of course, still exercise, eat healthy, and main thing for me is minding my stress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that risk factor with women experiencing menopause yeah. and their heart health. What do women out there need to know about that?
They need to know that our hormones shift, and that shifts that can cause issues with our heart. So we look at cholesterol being an issue. It can increase during menopause. I feel like my body operates like I'm pregnant, so I want to eat all the things and having to be mindful that I can't have all those things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so also making sure that we're not diabetic, because it just changes mentally, physically, spiritually. All these things change, and we're tired, and we're getting to know this new body, and mm-hmm. getting to know that new body can be difficult. And so what you used to do might not work during menopause, so you have to make sure you understand what your body's doing during this season.
Yeah, yeah, we can't just do everything the body wants, right?
She's
like, give me the snack, give it to me.
Please.
So you actually turned your experience into an organization that offers free heart screenings for people across the country.
Yes.
At what point did you say, hey, I got to get the word out about this?
Oh my God. From my ICU bed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yes, I called American Heart and I said, I need to know everything I need to learn about heart disease. So American Heart became my training ground. But then I realized there was a gap that they didn't quite feel that I could feel. And that's getting into the face of the community that looks like me. If you continue to say it's the number one killer of us, then we need to be face to face having these conversations. And it's not, you know, we have this saying in our community, don't talk about it, be about it. And so that's what we are at Black Heart Association. We're about it first, and then we're going to talk about what we see at your screening.
So what is the gap? Is it the message not getting to the community in particular, or people not receiving it?
I think the gap has been so long is that what we saw around heart disease didn't represent me. It didn't look like me. It didn't sound like me. It didn't appear like me. I wasn't an older white gentleman with a pot belly turning red, grabbing, clenching my chest. It doesn't look like that for us, especially women. Mm-hmm. And so I think the message just was not hitting home. But it definitely hits home when we're out in that street in the community screening and having these face-to-face conversations.
And so how do people get involved with your organization, whether they need a screening or they just want more information?
They can visit us at www.blackheartassociation.org. You can pick up the phone and call us. Our number is on our website. You can come volunteer. You can get a screening. Just book the bus, Cardi B, and we pull up and we're going to take care of you.
You say Cardi B?
Cardi V.
Oh!
Short for cardiovascular.
Yes, like book
her. Yes, book her. She's for the streets.
I love it. All right, we got to have more life-saving chat, but we're going to take a quick commercial break, you guys. Keep it here. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Now, we had to bring back Lacey with the American Heart Association Associate VP to join Tara with the Black Heart Association. Now, here's the thing. Like, you guys, your mission is to tell people, go get screened, go get these tests. Don't be scared. But they are. That's the thing. That's the hesitation that we get from people trying to share this information. So what do you say to that hesitation? Because people don't want to find out that something is wrong with them or their children. What do you say?
I say, for me personally, I was sitting actually at our Go Red luncheon last year, and we had someone talking about preeclampsia and women that during the pregnancy that have preeclampsia are higher disposed to having cardiovascular disease later on. I had preeclampsia with my firstborn, so I'm sitting there not even, you know, as a mom of a child that has heart disease, but as, you know, myself saying, oh my gosh, that's me. I need to be taking care of my body too. And so I think, you know, it's that mindset of we don't want to go because we don't, what are the what ifs? What could happen to us? And it was me in that moment saying, no, I'm also, you know, in my late 30s, I need to be taking my own heart health seriously too. And sitting there in that moment.
Absolutely, yeah, the 30s too.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the other thing. Go start early, you know, doing what you need to do as well. All right, what about you, Derek?
Yes, I think for our community, it's a little more layered. We have right to be concerned or nervous about what's about, what the results are, right? And so I think we need a good understanding of what happens when you actually go to the doctor, especially for our men.
Yeah.
You know, what actually happens at the appointment? How invasive or non-invasive is it? So I think a good understanding needs to be there. I also think it has to be with people you trust. We're a trusted voice in the community, Black Heart Association is, so we go to where they are and have those, we're comfortable, they're comfortable, and then we can drive them to care. A lot of doctors come visit on the bus in their street clothes and very down-to-earth environments. So I think meeting people where they are is the change that we would like to continue to see.
Yes. And what are some other ways to find a doctor that you trust, or just, you know, somebody who can help guide you through this process?
You know, through the American Heart Association, through our doctors, we are working countlessly with all of the hospitals in the Med Center and all of our outside clinics, all of the suburban clinics, of how we can educate those doctors on some of the funding that we have, some of the research grants that we are working on. And we are really pushing with our clinical work of how we are reaching those communities that might not have as easy access to those larger hospitals, larger doctors' offices, of how we can get them into those communities.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, ours is a little different. We're doing Black Doctor Locator. We word of mouth works really well in our community, so we use a lot of word of mouth. But Black Doctor Locator, where people can go on there and look, you know, post, I'm looking for a doctor here, I'm looking for a doctor there, and we find them for them at no cost. And, of course, they can go to the website and use this service. But I think word of mouth is a powerful tool, because when I'm looking for a doctor and I post on social media, people are going to come back and say, hey, this is a great doctor. So word of mouth is still a powerful tool to find a doctor you can trust.
Yeah, that's huge, because you do want somebody who you feel comfortable with, you know, just period. Yeah. Like, you just want to be comfortable to have these very hard conversations. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're hoping that it's, you know, all good news, you're all in the clear, but if it isn't, that's another hurdle, you know, getting over that initial fear if you do get bad news. So what's the next step for y'all? Like, I might have to have my therapist on standby.
That's important. I'm glad you brought that up. I think mental health is a big part of heart health, period. And so use your doctor as a preventative. I think we have to change our perspective on how we see doctors and care and health. Instead of going expecting bad news, get in front of it. Start early in college, start going to the doctor, building that relationship, so that if something changes, you're okay. You already have that relationship. You're very aware what your body. And so I would say start early so that you can build those relationships at a younger age. And by the time you're my age.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what the age is.
No.
I love that idea of establishing that relationship early, because when I was in college, I was not worried about going to the doctor. And if I had gone, the doctor might have told me, do better. But that is a great point to go ahead and get that done, get that started. Lacey, for you, as a parent, anything else that you feel like parents should keep an eye on when it comes to their children? Are there symptoms or anything as they get older that we should be watchful?
Yeah, and back to the point real quick about, you know, the relationships, it's a partnership. And that's how, especially right now, my daughter now is starting to use her voice, but for so long it was my voice with the doctors and speaking on her behalf and saying, hey, her lips are a little bit bluer than they have been, or her breathing seems elevated. And it's creating that partnership with the doctors to know, I feel comfortable telling you, and you're going to take this seriously. But yes, I mean, obviously, in children, you're looking at their oxygen stats, you're looking at their blue, you're looking at appetite, the same, you know, really all the same symptoms that you're seeing in an adult as well, of heart disease and the onset of that. And I think, you know, we're trying to take a really active approach too. And SERPs, which is a emergency response plans, especially in these high school athletes, the football fields, making sure these schools have AEDs. They had, all of these athletic trainers are CPR certified. That's a huge push that we're working on right now with our local school districts, of knowing these, especially in that middle age middle school, high school, where these kids are active all the time.
Great point. We want to see more of that. Anything else that you want to see, Tara, moving forward?
I would like to see, don't be afraid to screen your kids in a sense at a young age. We know that cholesterol can be increased at a young age. We know blood pressure can be an issue at a young age. So don't be afraid to introduce your children to and having these conversations about blood pressure, cholesterol, and how these things impact. I think the earlier, the better. And that's when we begin to see heart disease erase.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I mean, such great info, ladies. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Chatting with Chelsea. Before we go, I got to get a final thought. Starting with you, Tara, what do you want the people to take away if they remember nothing else?
If you remember nothing else, I want you to know that you matter, your heart holds stories, and book the bus at blackheartassociation.org. We come to you from the corner store to the boardroom. Wherever our people are is where we want to be.
I love it. Get Cardi B in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right, Lacey.
Find your community. I've tried to, with her, talk to other families going through this and be a resource for other little girls that are going through this, other little boys and families, and to really just find that community and share your message and share to at all ages to get your heart health and to keep it safe.
Absolutely. Charlotte, I know you got a strong wave ready for us. All right, guys, keep up with us on social, especially on our YouTube. You got to subscribe to Chatting with Chelsea and then follow Chelsea Show Fox. We'll see you on the next Chatting with Chelsea.